Today we will continue with our Book of Acts review discussion. We started chapter 8 and stopped at and did verses 1 through 8 of Acts chapter 8. So we saw the effects of the power of the Spirit working through the deacon Philip, how he preached the gospel. A matter of fact, backing up a little bit, that with the persecution of Saul, that's Paul, before he came to faith in the Messiah, how he persecuted the congregations and that they were scattered all throughout Judea and Samaria. And as they were being scattered, they were preaching the gospel. And the scripture was exact to make to note that except the apostles did not move. The apostles were not scattered. They stayed in Jerusalem as they were commanded by the Messiah until their work is done. So they were not scattered, but the rest of the congregations at Jerusalem, because they were scattered abroad again in throughout Judea and Samaria, and they preached the gospel. Stephen was buried by devout men, as we saw in verse 2, and later, and as they buried him, and we saw the need to mourn for loved ones. When that does happen, there's no need for believers not to mourn. And continuing in verse 3, we saw the great havoc, the great trouble that Saul was causing in the congregation. We also commented about how the congregations did not take up arms, as so many today who claim to be messianic or Christian, or often call themselves Nazarene, just these labels, and then yet they want to use weapons and guns and things like that. But we saw that when the congregations were attacked, they did no such thing. Rather, they left where they were being persecuted, and in their being scattered abroad, they just preached the gospel wherever they went. Verse 4 says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They were not concerned about fighting and guns and things of that. Well, not guns, obviously, but swords, whatever, or weapons. No, they were busy doing the Eternal's work, preaching the gospel. Unfortunately, today we have a lot of people that are militant, that are fleshy, and they're taking the gospel and they're claiming that they're servants of Elohim, but then they're carrying guns and weapons, which doesn't make any sense. We're in this world. We're not of the world. We're not to operate like the world, just as Messiah taught Peter, that the ones who live by the sword will perish by the sword. We're not to do that as believers in Messiah. So then it continues with Philip. Of all the great works the Spirit was doing through him as he preached Messiah in Samaria, Shamram, and many people listened as they heard his words and saw the miracles that he did, and unclean spirits crying out with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And as we mentioned, joy is something that we are to have. And the world is doing a lot, I see it, the demonic influence in this world is doing a lot to destroy our joy, because they make our lives, I don't want to go say bitter, it's not that bad for us, at least some of us here, but they make our lives hard, and so robbing us of the joy. And the spirit of Elohim is a spirit of blithe. It is a spirit of joy, literally. The spirit of it is a joyful spirit, and he wants us to be joyful. And you see Messiah, especially in the accounts of John, saying, admonishes, ask that our joy might be fulfilled. And other places it says the joy of the Eternal is our strength. And you will see a lot, there's a lot of reference about us being joyful. That's very important. That's very important to our faith, to how effective we are in prayer, how effective we are around people, to let his spirit work through us. But when that joy is brought low by the attacks of the adversary and the minions of the adversary in this world, we don't function at the level that we should be functioning. So we need to really be praying that we can have joy. So let's continue with verse 9 as far as we can go, okay? So chapter 8, verse 9 says, "But there was a certain man called Shimon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of Elohim. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries." Verse 12, "And when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim and the name of Yeshua Messiah, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Shimon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, behold, the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of Elohim, they sent unto them Peter and John," Yochanan. Verse 15, "who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name, in the authority of the sovereign Savior," sovereign Yeshua. Verse 17, "then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." Let's stop here for a second. So let's go back. Make some sense of this. So we're introduced in verse 9 of chapter 8 to a certain Shimon, a certain Simon, which used sorcery, and he fooled the people in believing he was some great one, some gadol, someone great, someone important. And they all listen to him, from the least to the greatest of them, saying that this man is the great power of El. So they had regard, they feared him, because of for a long time he bewitched them, he controlled them with his sorceries. But when they, that is, when the same people that were bewitched by this Simon believe Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim and the authority, the name of the sovereign Messiah, they were baptized, both men and women. So they were baptized, having heard the good news. So the power of change, of real change, not as the world speak, but the power to affect the will of the first reality in this world, is to preach the gospel. Who's the first reality? Elohim, the power of all things. He is the first reality. Today, we have people that want to affect change, all sorts of change, all sorts of perversions, really, is what it is. And they call it change. Turning good to evil, evil to good. Changing the normal use of life. Wanting to become some sort of transhuman, whatever, all sorts of perverted ideas, wanting freedom, but rejecting all the elements of freedom. And so today we have this chaotic, evil generation that's just getting evil on account, if I may say, of the sorceries that are filling the world here in the United States and all over. Falsehood, false ideas, false science, all perverting the heart and the mind of society from all levels in society, perverted in every way. But verse 12 said, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the Malkut of Elohim, the kingdom of Elohim, the kingdom of the eternal power, and the name, the authority of the anointed Savior, they were baptized, both men and women." They were washed. They received the baptism of repentance, the baptism of John. They were baptized. And Simon himself, as we saw, was baptized and believed. And he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Ah, that's interesting. He believed, and he was wondering of the signs which were done. And elsewhere, I'm not going to turn to it. We've read before, where it says, the devils believe and tremble. So this is not the type of faith that leads to salvation. In other words, he just knew what was going on was real. That's what's meant there. He knew it was real. Okay, so he believed. You know, it's a fact. He could not deny the facts of what he was experiencing and seeing that was being done through Philip. That's the type of belief. Just believing things in fact alone is not the faith, is not the belief that leads to salvation. It's part of it. We have to know things for fact, absolute fact, truth, but we have to agree and love it as well and have faith and confidence in it. We can know something is true, but not have confidence in it, not be willing to comply with its requirements. And this is what's going on with Simon here. He believed, he could not deny what he was seeing. A matter of fact, he was wondering, and he was looking at the miracles. He was looking at the miracles which were done, but he did not have faith. And verse 14, and when the apostles, let's go back a little bit with Philip. So he was beholding the miracles. And verse 18 says concerning him, and when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles, I'm sorry, let me not go there. I'll go there when I get there. I didn't reach that part yet. So we must make sure that we don't just believe just in facts, just in the fact, the reality of Elohim, and that all these things are real. We have to subscribe to it. We need to open our hearts to love Elohim and to love the things of Elohim and to love his goal. So these miracles were not being done just for entertainment. They were being done to help people. They were being done out of love and kindness, not out of a drive to control people, to have power, which is what's going on in with Simon. Simon was wondered and behold the miracles and signs that which was done. He wasn't looking at the people being helped. He was looking at the power rather than the purpose of the miracles. He wanted to control and manipulate people. And today we have a lot of people like this, unfortunately, claiming to be Christian or not Nazarene or however they might call themselves. Pastors, rabbis, deacons, whatever names they might want to call themselves. Names that they call themselves, not names given to them by the Spirit of Elohim. They took those titles upon themselves, and they're none of those things. But they love to control people. They like to have the main seats. They want people to come to them all the time for the solutions. Come to, you know, and they want to be paid for their work. These are not the qualities of true servant of Elohim. Simon was definitely not a true servant. Yes, he believed. He believed the way the demons do. Because as it is written, the demons believe and tremble. Because the demons know more than Simon. The demon know that their doom will one day come. Simon, apparently, here doesn't know that. He wants to control people. He wants to be in charge. As they said, as it says here, he bewitched all the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. He was promoting himself as being some great authority. That's sad that anyone could have in their hearts the mind to control others rather than saying you are free in Messiah. Live and enjoy life in all righteousness and goodness and freedom, in wholeness, in the name and love of Messiah. Instead, they want to control people. Instead, they want people, they want to pass the basket around to collect as much money as they can every Sunday or Sabbath, whichever day of the week they may meet, pretending to be servants of Elohim when they're not. They're just in for it, for the glory and the money. Too often, I'm not saying all of them, but often that's what it is. It's a shame. So that's Simon. That's what's going on with Simon. And notice, he believed he did, none of them had the Holy Spirit. That's the other point. Let's see that. They all believed, they were baptized. But let's see what verse, did they get the Holy Spirit? Because these same type of ministers, so-called ministers today who preach and are baptizing people, like without truly any regards for anything, other than, okay, are you going to do what I say? Is, you know, as long as you follow the rules of my rules in my church, as they would say, they'll baptize you. It doesn't matter really if you're obeying Elohim or not, because they're not. They're just concerned that, hey, you're following my rules and you know that I'm in charge. That's how they think. They think the pastor is in charge. So as long as you're willing to do what I say, hey, I'll baptize you. Just make sure you bring in your tithes and your offerings regularly. You know, it's a shame. And they give this false teaching that as soon as you're baptized in the water, once you get up, you receive the Holy Spirit. It's not true at all. And that's why so many people don't understand, because they've been told, hey, I'm baptized, you know, I have the Holy Spirit, when they don't. They pray, nothing happens, you understand? And they don't get it, that they don't have the Holy Spirit yet. But they think they do, because they were told by these phony ministers that, hey, you're baptized, and by faith, you have the Holy Spirit. That's really a shame. Because as we have seen so far till this point, every time a person receives the Holy Spirit, from all as far as back you can go in the Old Testament to the present, you will see that once a person receives the Holy Spirit always bears witness of his presence in the person's life by performing some form of sign. The Holy Spirit gives some form of sign through that individual that the Spirit of Elohim is in that individual. That is scriptural. Anyone who says otherwise is deceiving themselves. There's always a sign when the Spirit is on the person. Not necessarily immediately, but there's a sign. Just as we saw in the on the day of first fruits, when Messiah says, receive the Holy Spirit. There's no record of a sign necessarily, but 50 days later, the Spirit showed the sign in the apostles that they spoke with tongues and did miracles, right? So here, these people were believed the gospel, the good news of the kingdom preached by Philip, and they were baptized in the name of the sovereign Messiah. But you're going to see that they did not receive the Holy Spirit yet. Let's backtrack a little bit. So believe the preaching of things concerning the kingdom of Elohim. So it is important that we have to understand the preaching of the gospel is not just preaching Yeshua crucified. People take Paul's comment about that out of context when he says, I preach nothing but Messiah crucified. That was in a particular place and context because the people knew a lot of the other things. And you will see other places where Paul is actually preaching the entire message. It depends. So the preaching of the gospel has to include everything that people don't know, everything that your audience really don't know, don't believe. And that the preacher, the speaker, must have discernment to understand, what does this group of people believe? Do they already believe in the kingdom of Elohim? Do they already believe in Elohim? Or do we need to start from the very beginning? There are times, depending on the audience of who the apostles were teaching, they would have to teach from the beginning because they're speaking to idolaters, people who don't know Elohim at all. So they had to first disqualify the idols, teach them not to believe in idols, and then they had to teach them to believe in Elohim, and then they had to teach them to believe in the righteousness of Elohim and the salvation of Elohim through his son and his kingdom. So it depends where the people that we are speaking are, what point they are. So the kingdom of Elohim is what we proclaim. That he is in charge, that he is real, that he is in charge, that his son is died for us, rose again, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and is looking to seal whoever believes with his Spirit. That's inevitably the message, that he will return again to rule and give us everlasting life, and so on and so on. So he preached the kingdom of Elohim. So let's look at verse 14. It says, and when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of Elohim, they sent unto them Peter and Yochanan. who, when they were come down, prayed for them to do what? That they might receive the Holy Spirit. Why? Why would they do that? Wasn't Philip's job good enough? Didn't we read that in verse 7? Unclean spirits crying out with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken of palsies. Didn't the Spirit do great works through Philip? What's going on here? Why is it that the apostles needed to come? Because it wasn't Philip's authority. The Spirit did not work in Philip to transmit the Holy Spirit. That's a job the apostles could do, not Philip. But now think about the ministers today who can't even help a person with a headache. You know, the person could have a headache and ask the so-called pastor to pray for them, make the headache go away. They can't. And yet they're claiming they could lay hands on people and baptize them, and then they lie to them bold-faced, saying, now you have the Holy Spirit. Just look at the scriptures, dear brothers and sisters. Philip, the power of the Spirit, did signs and wonders of casting out demons, so on. He was authorized to baptize due to baptism of water, but he could not transmit the Holy Spirit. That was something the apostles could do. Remember, I said a couple of Sabbaths ago, the apostles are like the prophets. Just like you had Moses and the priest, we have in the New Covenant time, or in other words, the prophets and the priests in New Covenant times, we have the apostles and the pastors and deacons and so on. So in the time of Moses, Moses was the one who dedicated everything, not the priests. Moses was the one the prophet who had the authority to sanctify everything as commanded by Elohim. Aaron couldn't do that. A matter of fact, he is the one who sanctified Aaron and his sons, the prophet. So it is in New Covenant time. The apostles are the prophets. The bishop, deacons, and elders are like the priests. It is the apostles that have certain authority, that have authority to do that. Not the bishop, unless the Elohim transmit that power through the bishop. So that's why here in verse 14, he says, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of Elohim, they sent unto them Peter and John. To do what? Verse 15, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So that's proof to you that when they were baptized in the water by the Spirit-filled deacon Philip, that they did not receive the Holy Spirit. They did not. They needed the apostles who had that authority to do that, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So verse 16 tells us plainly, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the authority of the sovereign Yeshua. Do you see the specifics here, brethren? That's why I say don't be deceived by these phony religions of today, these phony ministers today that are telling you outright bold-faced lies. That's why it's important for you to take time to read the scripture yourself, and you will understand it as you pray. Don't fall for that lie of all these denominations, whatever they call themselves. And then they have their so-called pastors that go to seminaries and all these things, and quote unquote baptizing people. To what end? They don't have that authority. And you could tell by their lifestyle and the excuses they make for their lifestyle. Verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the sovereign Yeshua. So, you know, some people think that you could just call in the name of the sovereign Yeshua. It's more than just, like I said, a pronouncement. You have to have the authority to do what it is. Such things as the Aaronic benediction, as I've mentioned to as much as I can in the Messianic circles, when they're making the Aaronic benediction, I hate to tell them this, but they're wasting their time, and it's not a good thing. They're making a mockery out of something only a priest could do. It's only the high priest of ancient Israel that could pronounce the Aaronic benediction. Anyone who's saying that, they're just mouthing words. There's no blessing that's going to come from it. Only Aaron was authorized, and the priest, the high priest, was authorized to pronounce that blessing. It's not something that we just repeat. I mean, obviously, we could read it, we could say it, but we should not, no one should stand and try to pronounce the Aaronic benediction as if they're trying to really bless somebody, because you can't. Only the high priest has that divine authority, was given that divine authority to do those things. We have to understand that there is this is real life. It's not a religious mockery. It's not let's play church. Let's play religion. This is real. When the apostles came, they had specific authority. When they laid hands, the power of the Spirit moved through them. It's not just symbolism. It's real power that's being transmitted. We have to understand that. So that's why you will never hear either any of us. If somebody wants to do the Aaronic benediction, take that authority upon themselves, it's their choice. But I can show it through the scriptures that that was something given to Aaron to do only. Not even Moses did it, even though he was of a higher authority. But that's not how it works. Everyone in the kingdom has their job. Okay, so Philip, full of the power of the Spirit, had his jobs. He could baptize with water, but he could not transmit the Holy Spirit. That was given to the apostles to do. And to whomsoever Elohim would cause the apostles to transmit that authority to do that. So verse 18, I'm sorry, so 17, and then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. See that? So don't be bamboozled. Don't be fooled by anyone trying to tell you they could lay hands and do all of that. That's just a farce. And it causes so much blasphemy. These are the type of things these ministers do that cause so many in the world now to have no respect for quote unquote church or congregation and lose faith in the scriptures, because many who quote unquote are speaking about the scriptures have no authority in them at all. And so they make a mockery of the faith. We of the congregation of Elohim have to stand against these things and give thanks to Elohim that truly he can empower us when we understand this. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now Simon, when he saw that through laying on the hand of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Wow. I just cannot help but think of a lot of ministers, quote unquote ministers today, trying to do that, because that's kind of what they do when they go to the seminaries, paying some school to so-called learn how to gain authority to preach the gospel. When Elohim established no such thing. What Elohim established is a heart that's repentant, a heart that loves Elohim and his son and his kingdom and all that is his. That's the qualifications to serve Elohim. Those are the qualities which Elohim will work with, not book knowledge, not people who study day and night. If that was the case, then ancient Israel would have had no problem with being saved, because they had many leaders who that's what they did. Study, study, study. That's not how it works. Study is good. But make sure that without repentance and a connection with Elohim, the study is in vain. So he said, this Simon, when he saw this, he said, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness, what a request. What a shameful request. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of Elohim may be purchased with money. Which is exactly what's going on a lot today. Not so bold-faced, but in reality, that's what's going on in these seminaries and these places. Always asking for money, 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 money. And they can do nothing for anyone. Nothing. But Peter said, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of Elohim may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of Elohim. So it's to show you, Simon, as I said, to try to point out, Simon never, this is not Simon Peter, this is Simon Magnus. He never received the spirit of Elohim. And any work that he did was from the demons, not from Elohim at all. He was a sorcerer and he remained so. He never, ever, ever received the spirit of Elohim. It's blasphemy for anyone to say such a thing. He never received the spirit of Elohim. He was a sorcerer. And he was still a sorcerer. He believed, but he believed as do the demons. For Peter said to him, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of Elohim." Remember what I said? He knows who to give his spirit to, dear brethren. He knows. He's not going to give his Holy Spirit to anyone who isn't right. That's why his spirit is a seal. It's a seal of everlasting life. He will never depart from you once you receive the Holy Spirit. That's the mercies of David. That's the covenant of salt. That's why David, when he received the Holy Spirit, because his heart was right with Elohim, despite his sins, his heart was right. That means he wanted to do right. He wasn't necessarily doing right, but he wanted to do right. His heart was right. And so when he received the Spirit never departed from David, no matter what he did. He was chastised for his sins, but the Spirit never, ever, ever left him. And that's how it is in the new covenant. Do not be deceived. Once you do receive Elohim's Holy Spirit, you will be sealed forever. It is the gift of Elohim. He does not give his gift and takes it away, but he will never give his gift until our hearts are right. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this, for thy heart is not right in the sight of Elohim. Repent, therefore, he never repented. Repent, therefore, for this thy wickedness, and pray, Elohim, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. You see that? I've heard people tell me Simon never received the Holy Spirit. That's blasphemy. That's unintentional. I know some say it in name, but that's blasphemous to say. Because if we... And that's to show us, we should need to ask, do we have the Holy Spirit? Because if you have the Holy Spirit, you cannot associate uncleanness with the Holy Spirit of Elohim. It's impossible. That's what the temple laws are all about. Not even the temple laws, the tabernacle laws. That's what it's all about. The sanctity of the dwelling place of Elohim. What's the point of reading about the tabernacle if we don't understand what it's about? It's to show you that whatever the Elohim's going to dwell in must be perfectly sound and pure and repentant, must be right. He will never dwell in anyone who's not right. He never dwelt in Saul, meaning King Saul. He never dwelt in King Saul. He just came upon Saul. He just influenced Saul, but he did not dwell in Saul. It's error to think that. The spirit of Elohim can influence things. Doesn't mean he dwells in such a person. No, he would never dwell in Saul. But he used Saul for his purpose. But he didn't dwell in Saul. There are many examples of that also throughout the scriptures. Do not confuse the power of the spirit working with somebody to mean the spirit is in somebody. As a matter of fact, the apostles before the resurrection of Messiah is a perfect example of that. Because Yeshua told them, he is with you. He told them this before they betrayed him. He said, he is with you, but he shall dwell in you. Don't forget these important lessons. Just because the Spirit is with somebody doesn't mean the Spirit is in that person. There's a difference, because once the Spirit dwells in you, you are sealed. He'll never abandon you. That's the new covenant. So repent therefore of this thy wickedness, verse 22, and pray Elohim if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. How could such a person receive Elohim's spirit? He never did. And the discernment of the one who does have the spirit, Peter. Because I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. These are not vain, empty words and surmisings. These are the intellect, the intelligence given, the discernment given to Peter by the spirit of Elohim for him to know exactly what's wrong with this man. This man, Simon the magician. I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Elohim warns us to guard ourselves from bitterness. Let a root of bitterness fill us. We have to guard against these things. Let's try to finish. Then answered Simon and say, that's his human. He probably meant, pray ye to the sovereign for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. That was his request. What does that mean? He's sorry. But we need to be righteous. Any evil man can be sorry. We have to understand that. When an evil man is in trouble, even person, they'll be sorry. That's okay. But we need to go beyond sorry. We need to do what's right and repent. Being sorry is not enough. Judas was very sorry. It wasn't enough. King Saul was very, very sorry. It wasn't enough. You need to repent. We need to confess our sins. I mean, admit it. Admit it. I'm wrong. I'm really wrong. Have mercy on me. Then I'm going to end with verse 25. Then they, when they had testified and preached the word of the sovereign, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. See that? After all of this, they themselves, despite the work of Philip, they, the apostles themselves, they testified. They gave testimony because that's their job. They were there. They saw it. They lived it. They can give testimony. They were witnesses and they preached the word of the eternal. Then returned to Jerusalem and preached the good news in many villages of the Samaritans. That's the job. That's the saving power. I am not ashamed of the gospel, but the power of Elohim unto salvation to all who believe. That means believe in faith, not like Simon. That's the power, brothers and sisters, that's committed unto us. If we will take it and use it, you will see change. You will see change in every aspect of life when you share the gospel with your neighbor, with your family. Do not be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Preach the gospel and you will see the power of Elohim work. Because these words are spirit, Yeshua said. They're not just words. It's not just like the Torah. The Torah is instruction and is good. The Torah tells you what not to do more so than what to do. It is Yeshua who teaches the kingdom. For the law and the prophets were until John, but now the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Elohim is being preached. The law and the prophets were until John. These are the words of Messiah. But the kingdom of Elohim, does the kingdom of Elohim exclude the law? No. But the kingdom of Elohim has more than the law. It has goodness. It has the power to save. The law does not. The law does not. The law was never given to save. The law was given as a schoolmaster to keep us, to prepare us for the kingdom, to teach us how to behave, in other words. We don't cast away the law. Now that we have the law, we apply the kingdom rules, the kingdom lifestyle. We do the kingdom things. We cast out demons if we receive that power. We heal the sick. We change minds. We tear down every imagination against the things of Elohim by the power of the Spirit, not just by thou shalt not, but by behold the power of Elohim. In the name of Elohim, rise up and walk. In the name of Elohim, the name of Yeshua, in the name of the Spirit, demons cast out and flee. That's the power of the kingdom. In the name of Elohim, O governments of this world, fall before Yeshua. That's the kingdom power, brethren. The law is just a little part. But we get all caught up in it. Let's not do that. We need to go beyond the law, laying down the foundations, as it says in Hebrews. Those things have to be under our belt. Now we have to learn to function as kingdom people. Not that the kingdom has come, but that the kingdom is in us. And we have to learn to live by faith and authority. Not authority to boast and to lord it over people, but authority to cast out demons and every evil thing. I stop here, dear brethren. Thank you for listening. We will continue later on with the book of Revelations. Amen.